Blog Talk Radio.
I love that piece of music. I still haven't mastered the controls yet, so excuse me for cutting it off so abruptly. One day I'll figure it out, how to segue out of the music into tonight's show. Good evening, everyone. My name is Bill Green. I'm your host for tonight's show, Healing with Sound and Color, for the next hour. Tonight's show will explore the music scale of breathwork that form a trajectory of frequencies which resonate with the vibrations of the chakra system within the body. Now, for those of you who are just tuning in for the first time, welcome. And for those of you who've been, who've tuned in to previous shows, you know, the first week we talked about breathwork itself. The next week we talked about artwork, and then we talked about the chakra system last week. So tonight we're going to take a look at the trajectory of music that I guess you could say we're going to be looking at music more in-depthly. I guess that's the best way to put it. And how it's put together for a breathwork set. And those breathwork sets can range anywhere from 20 minutes to, in some cases, 3 hours, depending on who's the facilitator of the event. I've done breathwork sessions with participants in treatment programs and healthcare facilities and in corporate America settings and in individuals' homes. And the sets have ranged from 20 minutes to 2 hours. I haven't done anything that lasted any longer than that. I have, as a participant, sat through breathwork sessions that have gone 3 hours. And laying down and listening to it is one thing, but sitting to it is another, without getting to how it's done in pairs, if not tonight, in a future show. So I'm kind of chuckling because, you know, I'm old. And laying down, yeah, I could do that the best of them. But having to sit on the floor for 3 hours, mama, I was, you know, I mean, every part of me, you know, was screaming, you know, I need to lay down and breathe. Anyway, so that's my little ha-ha-ha for the moment. So anyway, hopefully I am broadcasting tonight. Usually I have my co-host with me, my co-pilot, my partner in crime, my son, my oldest son, Will Green. He might pop in. Matter of fact, I think I might even see him out there. Let me just check in and see. Do I recognize this phone number?
Do you recognize the number?
My man, what's up, Will? I was just talking about you.
I know, I heard it.
Well, that's good. That means I'm out there. All right. Yeah, how you doing tonight, man?
When I came in, you were just saying I need to breathe. So you know, I'm you know, having some challenging moments, you know, and definitely could use some meditation. But you know, that's why I'm here.
Amen. Amen. Well, you're also here to work, right?
Okay.
You're also here to work, right? I just got through bragging on you, telling everybody that you know, my co-host, my co-pilot, my partner in crime, you know, and nobody does. Nobody, like there's a whole lot of it. It's just me and you. But I don't do the prep and the intro like you do, man. You know, you got it down pat, especially when it comes to what the particulars about the greenhouse effect are and what people can do to become members and join the chat room, et cetera, et cetera. Why don't you go ahead, just, if you don't mind, sling it out there for me.
Okay.
Well,
so, yeah, I'm sure that, you know, that's already given you all the welcome. But again, bienvenidos and hola, namaste, et cetera. The one thing that we enjoy about doing these shows on Blog Talk Radio is it gives us the option to engage with you all, the listeners here. So there's a few ways that you all can listen to the show and engage with us on our shows. So I'm a little rusty here, so bear with me. But just
no, you're doing fine, man.
You know, so for those of you that are listening online, you can actually call in, or you can engage with us online in the chat room. To give you the information for tonight or for future reference, again, what we like to do, unlike most podcasts where people just pretty much talk and you all listen, again, like the old school talk shows, talk radio shows, we like to engage with you all and hope that you ask questions and give us a call and things like that. So one way you can engage with us is to call in directly, just as I did. So what we hope that you do, first of all, as always, we hope you grab a pen and paper, a pencil and pad, a post-it note, a marker.
Go.
I'm not sure what you got. But, you know, if my dad's on the line, you can best be sure you're going to pick up some jewels. So grab something the right way in case you pick up something you want to research, or maybe you might want to, you know, just look it up yourself or something like that. So grab something to write with here. So hopefully you got something. So, again, our phone number here, you can give us a call at 516-453-6094. Again, that's 516-453-6094. And when you're ready to jump on in, what you do is press 1 on your keypad, and that'll put your number in the queue. So we'll see your number there, and we'll know that you want to jump on in. I'm pretty much usually the only person that he just brings right in without pressing the 1 button, you know, depending on who you are. But, you know, my dad is full of surprises. But, again, that's 516-453-6094. But if you are listening online, obviously you're on the Blog Talk Radio site. So there is a chat room that's available for you to engage with us as well. The way that you engage the chat room is by setting up a profile on Blog Talk Radio. Now, you can set up a free profile, but to set it up, you do have to give, like, credit card information, but you won't be charged. But pretty much, like I said, just set up the free profile, and at the bottom of the broadcast, you'll see the chat room, and you can jump on in and chat with us on the chat room as well. So you have a couple options to engage with us. Again, so if you got questions, comments, again, you just want to pick up something, or if you find something interesting to research, you know, we do have different ways that you can ask questions and follow up with us. So that's how we get down here on Blog Talk Radio on the Greenhouse Effect Radio Show and that special presentation on breathwork. So definitely get something to write. Because, like I said, you'll pick up something here because we all need times to meditate. Trust me. I know. So there you have it.
Oh, man. I know. I don't know why I got bumped off the chat room and I can't seem to get back on. I hope I can see anybody who does come on, though. And I don't want to fool around with it too much.
Yeah, no worries. I'm opening up right now on my computer. So
okay.
I'll back you up on it. No problem.
My man. See, everybody, that's why I need my wingman. You know, he's the EP, he's the executive producer of the show. and he knows all the bells and whistles. He knows what controls and what buttons to push other than mine and keeps the show rolling. Now, Will is much more caller friendly than I am. You know, I can be kind of severe if somebody starts, you know, sounding like a troll. But Will is very patient, so it's good he's on the show.
You've come a long way, man. You know, it's been, what, 2-3 years since we jumped on this together? You've come a long way, man. Give yourself a little bit more credit.
All right. And not too much. Not too much, y'all. Yeah.
Just a little bit.
Anyway.
Just a little bit.
Not too much. So thanks, man, for filling in all the particulars. I tend to get real scattered when I try to do that, and I wind up wasting the whole show just doing what you just did, in less than 10 minutes right on. So I hope you stick around tonight, man.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here.
Outstanding. Okay, cool. Great. All righty, man. Good to have you. Missed you last week. You know, it was one of those laborious situations, and I really thought I was absolutely, totally alone, because I don't know how to check Facebook or any of the other modalities that you know how to tune into if people making comments or whatever. And doggone if somebody didn't post a little thing on Facebook saying that they had been listening to the show, but they had to jump off after about 45 minutes, which it's okay. I mean, it's all right. I don't mind. This is wonderful for me just to even be offering this information. But it just really warmed my soul that I, in fact, wasn't alone, that there was someone there. And a few other people have since chimed in and gave their reasons for not being. So it was, you know, it was very heart-rendering, because I'm the kind of person who begins to, you know, do a soul check, so to say, wondering if I'm getting too full of myself, getting too ahead of myself, if I should even be doing the kind of things that I feel like I'm called to do. So anyway, thank you, man, for doing what you did.
If I can, real quick, you know, I definitely understand that. You know, I've been playing around on this type of media for a while, you know, and
I remember,
you know, and trying to reach out to people, you know, for a while. You know, but the one good thing about doing this is that, you know, one person, you know, we will touch every time. I think I can guarantee that, you know. And ladies and gentlemen, just because you might not catch the live show, and this is for those that's listening to maybe the recording, you know, our shows are archived. The shows are archived on Blog Talk Radio. The shows are also archived on other listening platforms. So, you know, so for that person on Facebook, you know, maybe they're listening tonight. So you can definitely go back and listen to the show on Blog Talk Radio. You can go right here, blogtalkradio.com/greenhousefx, and you can find the shows that are saved. So you can go back and listen. So go back and listen, and maybe, you know, share it with somebody else. And maybe that person will share it with somebody else as well. So I wanted to make sure I put that out there as well to remind people that the shows are recorded. So if you do miss the live show, you can listen to it on another day. And again, share it with somebody else, because you might have to go back anyway, you know. I think this is something that we all need, you know, and it probably needs to be listened to a couple of times. You know, especially when it comes to our own mental health and meditation, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. I'm glad that you mentioned about the archive shows and going to Blog Talk Radio, but how does a person find the Greenhouse Effect in the archive show?
It's you just go, just type it in. Just, you know, when you do the search on, you know, when you do your URL or whatever on the internet, when you type in the website, blogtalkradio.com/thegreenhousefx. That's the letter.
There you go. Put in the Greenhouse FX. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. There you go. There it is. That's the part I keep forgetting. You know, blogtalkradio.com is great for blogtalkradio.com/thegreenhousefx. That's how you access the archive shows. Okay. Thank you, man. Now I can spread the word. Yeah.
Outstanding. There you go.
See, my man. All right. Anything else that is rolling off the top of your head?
No, not right now. Not right now.
Okay. Well, if anything does, you know, don't hesitate. I can't fire you. You fire me. So, last week we talked about the chakra system or the energy fields that, and we talked about 7 major ones. We didn't talk about more than that. I think I mentioned in last week's show that some scientists or some teachers of this work have estimated there are as many as 114 energy wheels in the human body. So we only focus on the 7, what is considered to be the 7 major ones. And last week we went in depth in talking about the chakra system, which also included the corresponding colors. The first week, talking about breathwork, as was already mentioned, it was pretty much, I'm not going to obviously get into the whole thing, but the recap is that it's a form of meditation that in itself is not the cure. And that's what's important, you know, to remember. Breathwork in itself is not, it's not the one size fits all. It's not the cure all and the fix all for what ails a person. Breathwork is really supplemental. It's meant to support whatever it is that a person is already doing to deal with themselves, whatever that might be. I think I gave in a previous show some of the reasons why people even, you know, consider breath work, like who benefits. And one was, you know, spiritual seekers. So somebody who's looking to deepen in their own spiritual agenda or their own spiritual relationship with their higher power, their creator, you know, this would help supplement that. It would help augment it. It would help intensify to some degree that pursuit. Those struggling with depression or, you know, a degree of loss of meaning in life. I guess I would call it stuck, not saying depression is being stuck, but loss of meaning in life. Like, you know, what am I really about here? You know, it can help shake the bones, so to say. But it in itself won't be intercessor. It's not, you know, the type of thing that will step right in and fix everything without you having to participate. No, that breath work doesn't work that way. So hopefully a person who is experiencing, you know, some kind of spiritual emergency, which would be indicative of, you know, loss of meaning in life, or someone who's going through, you know, of any kind of the millions of, well, maybe not millions, but many different types of depression. You know, I read in a journal put out by the Harvard Mental Health Institute that studies indicated, and this was back in 2004, I think I read it, studies have indicated through their research that being black is depressing. Well, I could have told them that 70 some odd years ago. But anyway, you know, the point being that hopefully a person who is starting to feel that kind of sense of emptiness would pursue some type of intervention, counseling, therapy, pastors of a church, someone to dialogue with that would begin to help a person understand what they're going through, and then lay out a chart of action that would help a person address, you know, at least through talk therapy, different methods that might be tried. Breathwork would help supplement that. So it's not like you do breathwork to be relieved of depression. No, you go to do breathwork to deepen in the process of being relieved of depression. But having first been clearly diagnosed, I use that word, as going through, you know, a form of depression. So hopefully, you know, you understand that laying down and breathing for a couple hours actually may stir up more stuff than it settles down. So So it definitely helps to have a support system. You know, don't get me wrong. It's not like you're going to jump up off the floor or go jump out of a window or anything like that. But during the process of a two-hour journey, a lot of things do get stirred up. A lot of energy gets, you know, kick-started and moves. That's the whole point of frequency and vibration. It moves energy through the body. And understanding breath work, getting an understanding of the chakra system within the human body, you know, and where those key points are in the human body, can at times, well, most times, if not all the time, move the energy through the body. Now, there'll be times maybe when, you know, it may become a little bit uncomfortable, or a person may not want what's coming up to come up. Well, there's a magic word that's used in the work, and it's called stop. And it doesn't have to be said out loud. It can be just thought stop within the inner journey itself. And the body is so designed that, you know, the ego is so designed, you know, that it, and spirit is so designed that it's not going to purposely hurt you. So if any time it gets uncomfortable, just thinking the word or saying the word stop to oneself, just the process. All you got to do is return to the breath, and then another trajectory will take place. So it's not like you only get one shot at the title. You lay down to breathe. You don't like what's happening, and you say stop, and then that's it. You get up and walk away. No, you just continue to breathe. And the energy, like we said, it has at least seven layers to it. There's, you know, plenty of opportunities to move elsewhere in the body. However, I would strongly encourage a person who is having that kind of experience during a breath work to make note, mental note of at what particular time, at what particular point did it become uncomfortable, because it very well may be discovered that somewhere in one's body is a particular place of blockage that maybe more work needs to be done. And that brings me to the point of the mandala, or the artwork that we talked about last week, the what I call the snapshot from the soul. And what it does, because the soul doesn't dialogue in human form, you know, it talks to us through our souls in symbol. So mandalas capture the snapshot from the soul symbolically on paper, called a mandala. And you, the artist, and I know a lot of people, I can't draw on it. Well, it's not about, and that's what the point was last week, it's not about drawing some kind of, you know, a mural. It's about using colors that depict the symbol that reveals itself on paper. So you might draw a stick person, but you might use a color red to draw that stick person. So the point ain't the stick. The point is the color. And then the color begins to deepen in the process of the meditative journey that one can do by themselves, staring at their piece of work and just meditating on it, and let the soul reveal to the individual what the symbol is representing. So it's really an amazing process. And it doesn't really take that much practice. All it really takes is willingness. And it's amazing how many of us, you know, going through a period of stuckness, would rather get into a meditation of stuckness than even consider an opportunity for surrender. It's like we give so much energy to that which is bothering us that we don't even acknowledge that we need to stop letting it bother us. And the only way to do that is to surrender to it. You know, but we give so much energy to all the other issues that surround whatever it is that has got our attention. We give so much emotional backlog to it. We give so much, you know, chatter and so much blame even, you know, external more so than internal, that we lose the whole point of letting go. And it's almost like, well, to let go means I'm weak, or to let go means I agree, or to let go means, you know, I'm turning myself, my power over to something else, and I don't want to do that. I want to be the one to control it. Yeah, well, look where that got you. So sometimes the hardest thing to do is the simplest thing to do. And in this case, the simplest thing to do would be to meditate and allow yourself the opportunity through meditation. See, here's the thing, you know, the 11th step of AA talks about the process of through prayer and meditation, deepening in one's understanding of God, understanding of God's purpose, and understanding what it takes to take on what energy will be required to do what is being recommended by the Creator. You know, that AA is a very spiritual, I guess some people would say it's a religious-based spiritual program. I don't agree. You know, I think it's a spiritual program, you know, for difficult situations. 12 steps pretty much indicate what the matter of growth is required over and over again. The last seven words, that's the in the 12th step, the last seven words in the 12th step says, and to practice these principles in all our affairs, was that eight. But anyway, the point being, you learn the steps, memorize the steps, but the principles of each step is up to the individual to uncover. So in the first step of AA may be, you know, admitting that I'm powerless over whatever it is I'm powerless over, and it's caused my life to become unmanageable. You know, well, that's the step, but what is the principle behind that? And that is for me to have to understand, and that's the thing that I have to, you know, embrace. Admission is the first key for me that it's not going to get any better if I can't admit to it. So understanding that the dynamics as have been talked about for the last 3 weeks now has to do with this form of meditation, what it's designed to do and what it gives back in return. So it's not like you just lay down, you breathe and you pay your cost for admission and go home. No, it's a continuum, you know, and that mandala, it's like the same thing as taking a picture on a vacation. When you've done this artwork, you take it home with you, hopefully dated, and it will continue to resonate. In other words, it's not done because you're done with that particular event. Meditate on it, and just the conversation, the internal conversation of meditation will constantly reveal more than just what the picture itself shows. Just like when you take a picture on vacation, you know what you've captured within the frame of that picture, but you also know there was so much more that went on. And that's the whole point of it. It just gives you a focus. It gives you a place where you can start from and then just let it unfold from there. So hopefully I haven't taken too much time in doing a recap, almost the whole show just doing a recap. But moving into the themes of the music itself, and what I mean by the trajectory, it's just a matter of having just a little background information. Now, there's an article that I got privy to, I don't even know how long ago, I think it was around 89, and it's called Healing with Sound, and I've held on to it all that time. And, Will, you will appreciate that I was going through my piles of paper, post-ups, envelopes, tissue, and all boxes of stuff trying to find this thing. And I tell you, I really found a treasure chest full of other things looking for this one. And I was chuckling the whole time. I said, oh, that's what that is. So if y'all have never gone on a treasure hunt, you know, Will talked about it earlier, what you write down on paper, on envelope, on a little, you know, sometimes little pieces of tissue, and you lay all these things around. I'm sure we've all done that. You know, sometimes going on that little treasure hunt, you just uncover all these things, these little pearls that you jotted down, something you heard, whatever the case may be. So I found Healing with Sound, but boy, I uncovered so many other little pieces of treasures that I'm so thankful for. And I also threw away a mound of stuff that I've been holding on to forever. So cleansing comes in all forms, right? Yeah, amen. So getting into this article, and again, written back in 89, so we're talking what, how long, over 30 years, Will? I guess what, about 34 years maybe?
Okay. Yeah.
And think about that in relation to how old each of us are. You know, that's a big chunk of history. So the article starts out right to the point. You know, it says, let's face it, the world is an extremely noisy place nowadays. Now, in today's world, we are bombarded with noise, right? I mean, this is me talking now. You know, on all levels, too, often and many times uninvited. right? I mean, like the workplace noise, go to the workplace expecting to do one thing and distracted by all the other things, the clamoring that might be going on, you know, cell phone noise. Now, this article, you know, talked about telephone noise. That's, you know, how old it is. But, you know, you remember when cell phones first came out? You remember, like, it was like a, what was it? It was like a statement, like a badge of sorts, you know, that people would make it a point to have both ends of the cell phone open so you could hear the other person talking, too. Like, I got a cell phone, and y'all know it because you can hear somebody else talking. You know, it's like I'm sitting on the bus. I'm not wanting to hear it. Yeah, I'm important. You know, I'm not wanting to hear that. You know, but it's like, yeah, but I got a cell phone. So totally, you know, and I mean loud too, right? Not whispering or anything. Music, noise. I mean, sometimes, you know, music can be very inviting. Get on an elevator, it might be very soothing. But other times you might get on that elevator and listen to the soothing music and somebody steps on, you know, with, and this is my age now speaking, you know, so I apologize, y'all. And they step on and they blast in that rap junk. I don't mean rap, you know, in the civil way. I mean the MF rap and the B word rap, you know, and you know, the verbiage that, you know, curls the hair on the back of my neck, and blasting it, and maybe even singing along with it. Like, you know, again, I'm important. I can do this because I know something y'all don't know. So constantly bombarded, you know, which results in a need to just retreat for a second. You know, I was first introduced to the meditative musical journey called breathwork, back in 83. And right away I knew, in listening to the music, yeah, this is what my recovery has been looking for. And I made a vow, inner vow, that I was going to find a way to introduce the musical journey to the treatment arena, which eventually I did. You know, right on. But I was almost immediately hooked. Not right away, but that's a long story. But anyway, I'll move it along. The music was consciously created to be used therapeutically by Jonathan Goldman, the president of Spirit Music. You know, and he coined the phrase, the therapeutic use of sound and music. And there was also another aspect of it attached to that I try to avoid because it sounds too woo-woo. And it's called New Age music. You know, well, you know, a lot of people then in turn started saying, oh, that's too New Agey for me. So it began to get a bad hype. So the point of it being, it was therapeutic design by Jonathan Goldman that was really meant to be, you know, something with music that would help heal in a way, you know, help soothe for sure. The concept of healing with music, you know, it's in itself, right, as old as music itself. In ancient times, music was respected as a sacred and magical tool for growing crops. I didn't know that. Increasing fertility, celebrating birth, and healing the sick. In the ancient mystery schools of Egypt. Now, where is Egypt, Will? Right, in Africa.
Yeah.
You know, so a lot of times people talk about the mystery schools of Egypt as if Egypt was somewhere else, and all too often want to give the mystery schools credit for having been developed in Greece. No, the Greeks learned all of this from Hebrews. But anyway, that's another story for another time. So the ancient mystery schools of Egypt, knowledge of healing with sound and music was a highly developed science based upon the understanding that vibration is the fundamental creative force in the universe. The use of specific frequencies, scales, intervals, and chants to alter consciousness. Man, this is just some deep stuff. And heal was highly refined in the various cultures. Pythagoras, y'all know Pythagoras, all you college folks, you know, the father of geometry, right, Will? Yeah. Had a school in the 6th century BC that taught not only the science of mathematics, but also the secrets of healing with sound. To me, that's pretty deep. You know, I had a roommate at one point when I was part of staff and doing the different breathwork retreats, and his name is Byron Metcalf, and he's a drummer. And I asked him about his pursuits in regards to his musical journeys, if he was going to do any other musical instruments. So I asked him first if he, you know, had any other that he played. He said, well, you know, besides the drum, he was going to learn the keyboard. And he said, because if you learn the keyboard, you can master any other musical instrument. And I wasn't one to even begin to try to argue the point, but I have since come to believe that through the mathematical understanding, you know, and equations of science, that, yeah, once you master the scales, you can play anything at all, right? Makes sense to me. So moving on just a little bit more in regards to this. Now, understand that America as we know it, right, and as we know it means from like the 17th century on, the interest and knowledge of the sound of music as anything other than entertainment was lost to the West, meaning, you know, this country here, but not lost to the original inhabitants, right, the indigenous people. You know, they always use, you know, the same instrument along with others, but definitely the foundation of whatever it was that they played was the drum. And in Africa, the drum was considered to be the heartbeat of the world, you know, and the drum was like the foundation of whatever else was played. And those indigenous, you know, definitely used the drum and the flute and even other instruments to help create that dance, that trance-like dance that is still used today at powwows, right? Yeah, that's right. So in the United States and Europe, you know, where there had been such a strong separation between the science and music, recent years have changed that. Now, as we can see, if I could use no other example than the movies, we can see how music has greatly influenced movies today. Soundtracks are like, I would guess, I don't know, but I would bet the sale of soundtracks is at an all-time high. Or do people still buy? I don't know if people still buy music. Now you can download everything, right?
Yeah, you can download a lot of things, but it's still very important, you know, especially now with videos on social media and things like that. It's used even more now. But yeah, it's mostly downloaded. But it's still, some people still pay for it. You know, you still pay for it even to download it.
Right, right. Like I have iTunes, and I have to pay for every track I use. You know, I may not want to buy the whole CD or the whole, you know, the whole LP or whatever it's called. But those tracks, you know, in themselves, sometimes can be more expensive than the album. You know, but, you know, so I mean, like, drop $2 for one track and $9 for the whole album, and you wind up paying for like 6 tracks off of an album. Could have just bought the whole thing. But anyway, so I don't get mine for free. I don't know if you can even download that way. I would imagine that. I don't know. Like, I don't know Spotify, Apple. I don't know how that's done. Is that something you pay for to download?
Yeah. Yeah, you would still. Well, like Apple, you would pay a monthly subscription.
Okay.
And then there's some other websites where, just like similar to iTunes, you would just pay for individual tracks, things of that nature. So it just depends on where you get your music from. And that's if you want to pay for it. Of course, there's people who pirate you know, stuff and illegally download, like, you know, off of YouTube or something like that. But,
always different ways to skin the cat. Always different ways to skin the cat. Gotcha. that's cool. So moving right along with this, let me check. Okay, I got maybe enough time to get through the whole thing because I really want to get to the scale, but I wanted to give some background understanding that this wasn't just, you know, something that just sprung up. I don't know how many of the millions of you listening have really much interest or much vested interest in movies. You know, I'm not a movie buff, but I love movies. And watching a lot of the old black and white movies, you know, from the 30s and 40s, and hearing things done by people like Max Steiner or, my mind just went completely blank. Anyway, you know, you can always see music by. Just had it got past me. But anyway, rather than spend the rest of the show trying to remember that, the music was almost predictable. Like movies that were romantic were almost always going to have some type of stringy connotation to it. Movies that were, you know, adventure movies were always going to be kind of upbeat, you know. And really they were just fill-ins for the attention-getting aspect of the movie itself. But soundtracks today often can dominate a movie to the point where a person will get the soundtrack and not even go see the movie. I know firsthand. Movie Alexander, done by Vangelis. I watched maybe 5 minutes of the movie. But that's one of my top five soundtracks. You know, Vangelis, of course, has been around forever. Now, the names of the people that I would be dropping may not be familiar to you, but their music is. Chariots of Fire. Everybody remembers Chariots of Fire. Doom, 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 doom. You know, that was Vangelis, you know. That sounds kind of crazy. Am I dating myself? Have you even heard of the movie Chariots of Fire, man?
Yes, yes. I remember the soundtrack. I just wasn't expecting you to hit the tune.
And, you know, one of your favorite movies, you know, Blade Runner, you know, Vangelis, man. You know, and he also did the update, the remake, whatever, you know. So probably, though, my favorite music by him isn't soundtracks. You know, it's more his specialty music, like Voices is one in particular that actually blows me away. But anyway, I'm not going to get into too much more of that. So sound health musicians such as Steve Halpern, who really is like the grandfather of New Age music, Kay Gardner, Don Campbell, and Sam McClellan, people whose music I'm kind of familiar with, but the way breathwork music evolved, they became kind of like relics, you know, of a time that served this purpose of creating a foundation. But the music itself kind of graduated and moved on to more thorough aspects of expression. But anyway, they did lay the foundation, and they worked with concepts like resonance, the natural frequency at which something vibrates, and entertainment, the ability of one vibrating object to cause another object to change in its frequency during the creation of their music. So that's pretty cool. The natural frequency and the ability of one vibrating object to cause another object to change its frequency. So vibration and frequency is the constant in this music that's used in breathwork. And then there's a guy, Dr. Manfred Kleins, whose research showed that emotions exist in their own right as potential patterns in the nervous system and can be triggered by music in a general way, quite independently of specific associations with people or events. I find that pretty cool, meaning that regardless of what, to me, this is what it means, my interpretation, regardless of what may have influenced or triggered from the external some type of internal response, that can be shifted by going deeper into the internal experience and shifting and changing through frequency and vibration the initial experience. You know, it's sort of like having a creative experience with music. At least that's how it strikes me. I may be completely wrong, but I like the way it sounded. According to Kleins, the musical expression of joy, sadness, or love requires not only a certain spacing in time and pitch, but also that the amplitudes in the music follow an appropriate form. That leads me to the concept that I call trajectory. The music in breathwork isn't just randomly put together to cover 2 hours of a journey. Now, that's me talking. Some people don't even consider music to be much of an importance. The breathing in itself and the music just being the background really doesn't have to follow any type of orchestration. It can just be used as a distraction, which actually is how it's used. But the distraction, from my perspective, has purpose. Now, some would even argue, well, okay, but the purpose, you know, that they may be talking about is that it's the purpose of distraction. I like to think of it as moving the energy, you know, the frequency of the move of the music working hand in hand in this kind of soulful dance with the vibration of the body. But as we talked about in the previous shows, each chakra has its own vibrational influence. So the frequency of the music, in my estimation, in the way I taught it when I, you know, worked for one of the institutes out of Texas, was to understand the vibrational influence of different music patterns. So a person like, I don't know, let's say Hans Zimmer may come out with a soundtrack for a movie like The Rock. You know, it's one of my favorite all-time soundtracks that in itself may sound all the same. In other words, it just maintains a steady rhythm that I would call hero's journey kind of music, just the adventure theme, you know. But that same Hans Zimmer can turn around and do a soundtrack for a movie like, Pearl Harbor. And that movie can have yet the same driving themes, but also some of the most heartfelt music you could ever experience. So it's not like the artist, you know, typecast themselves. I think they understand, I believe, that whatever the rhythm of the music is or the vibration or the frequency of the music is, it wants to trigger certain emotional responses. What was that last 007 movie where my man died at the end? So,
oh, man, you know, gave away the end.
Well, damn, that movie's been out for over a year. You know? So everybody should know by now, you know. I can't remember what the name.
No time to die.
Now that soundtrack was done by Hans Zimmer, but I'll be doggone, I didn't recognize, and usually I can pick up, you know, his vibration in movies, but I didn't know it was him until the very end, until the death scene. And I fell asleep through most of the movie. But I woke up, you know, and I heard this music playing, and I looked over at sis-in-law, you know, and she was like crying. And I was like, what is she crying about? Because I fell asleep on the movie. And then I kind of heard, and as soon as I heard like 1 minute of it, I said, that's Hans Zimmer. I turned to her and said, Brenda, that's Hans Zimmer. She could have cared less. She was busy crying, you know. But that's when I realized he had, you know, he had done this incredible piece that he does. He's done a lot of the Batman movies, you know. That, you know, hopefully that gives, you know, you the listener, I know you're very familiar with the music, you know, and I remember that there were times when you and your son Jackson would be riding around and he would be wanting you to play certain cuts from certain movies, you know. That always tripped me out and he was what, maybe 5 or 6 when he was wanting to hear, you know, different pieces of music. And so I know that you're well versed in the type of music, not just, you know, from the hip hop genre, but also, you know, within the movie themes themselves, right?
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was Man of Steel.
Man of Steel.
Man of Steel. That's right. Yeah.
He didn't die at the end, did he?
No.
I just took it. So anyway, after years of testing, Clines arrived at what he termed to be the standard cycle of emotions. This cycle consists of 7 emotions: anger, hate, grief, love, sex, joy, and reverence. Let me say it again. Anger, hate, grief, love, sex, joy, and reverence. Each emotion has a characteristic span of expression ranging from 4.8 seconds, that's anger, to 9.8 seconds, that's reverence. So this music is doing some stuff that the body is responding to based on what emotional reaction is taking place. Now, there's a saying that we have in this work, you know, although we have emotions, we are not our emotions. You know, and a lot of, although we have thoughts, we are not our thoughts. And a lot of people would argue, well, yeah, because we become overly identified with our emotional reactions to things and our thoughts surrounding it. That's why it's so hard to turn off our minds. And again, the idea of breath work with full cyclic breathing interrupts the pattern of thought just enough to break that constant chatter, because you can't do 2 things at once. So if you're breathing and concentrating on breathing and breathing in a cyclic, uninterrupted, no break in between the breaths in and out, thoughts can't get in. but it takes a constant meditation to do it. It maybe will last 5 or 6 times, and then a thought will jump in, you know. But the idea is, okay, let the thought in, you know, let it complete its purpose, and you go back to the breathing. It takes practice to get to the place of meditation with music through breath work without falling asleep. A lot of people fall asleep because the process in itself, you know, is engaging. It takes effort, and the body craves, contrary to what anybody may tell us, the body craves calm more than anything else. It's just that we live in such a reactive society right now that we're bombarded constantly with stimulant that we don't even understand or recognize calm when it happens. I'll give you an example. You know, watching TV, watching something, and then a commercial comes on, and we leave the commercial on. Try just muting the sound while the commercial's on. You'll be amazed at the sudden impact that that quiet will have. It's like, whoa, what just happened? Silence can be deafening. So I'm going to skip ahead because I see I'm almost coming to the end of the show, and I, you know, really trying to maintain the discipline of staying within the context of 1 hour. And I've seen a couple people jump on and jump off in the studio. I hope what I'm talking about, forget it. You know, it is what it is, right, Will?
Yeah. Yeah.
So moving on ahead with and moving on down, when creating music that is designed to be used therapeutically, the artist, and I'm not a musician, so I plagiarize. You know, I use artists to develop a musical set that creates the trajectory that I'm talking about. And I depend on the work of the artist in order to be able to create the kind of journey I'm hoping to create. So I like to kind of think of myself as a pseudo artist, you know, a cheater, a grave robber. But nevertheless, I think it takes a particular kind of skill, you know, where the artists often work with both sides of the brain, combining intuition and logic, you know, combining intuition and logic. Well, how does that happen? Well, for me, it's a matter of the intuition of what I feel from the group, not just thinking. It's what I call doing live music. Now, I know that sounds contradictory. What I mean by live, I mean not having something prepared, but having a pile of, well, when I first started, it were cassettes, and every cassette had to be cued, but it was difficult to use intuition with cued music like on a cassette. But with the dawn of the new age of CDs, it became relatively trustworthy to trust my intuition if I felt the energy of the group shift. And I could feel the energy of the group shift. So where I may have programmed a particular piece of music to play, I would substitute it with something that felt like it resonated with where the energy was taking me. You know, so logic suggests that I'm still within the framework of the trajectory. Intuition encouraged the experiment. And the result would always be feedback. And the feedback would, you know, be consistent with the individual's experiences. So, hey, man, good music. Hey, man, that piece that I heard sucked. You know, and people can never remember the pieces they heard. They would say, you know that part you played, the one that went ton, 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 ton. Oh, yeah, that one. Oh, that's the hell they're talking about. You know, and it always sounds different when you watch it anyway. But point being that, you know, the roles of the fundamental tone and harmonics and brainwave, heart rate and respiratory rhythms, as well as the mantric formulas are deliberately incorporated into the otherwise improvisational creations. Amen. That's what I was just talking about. You know, so it's not like doing breath work. It's not like, although it does become one's own soundtrack, but it's not like a soundtrack of a movie that has already been pre-recorded. It's music that is meant to create this trajectory that moves energy from the first chakra on up to the crown chakra. And all y'all need to do is review your notes, because I'm sure everybody had a million of them, right? And see, you know, the trajectory I'm talking about and how the energy just moves right up the spine all the way to the top of the head from the first chakra to the next. So right quick, while I got enough time, I want to give you this scale that Halpern developed. Halpern shows the notes of the C major scale as the different keynotes for the seven chakras, improvising on a pentatonic scale during his musical progression through these etheric energy centers. So the first note for the first chakra is C in the C major scale. And of course, again, the corresponding color is red. The next note is D, orange. The next is E, yellow. Then F, green. Then G, blue. Then A, light blue. Then A, indigo or deep blue. And B, violet. So it's C, D, E, F, G, A, B. That was the scale that he developed. Now, let me tell y'all right quick something I experimented with. My Will's middle brother, Brandon, is a keyboard player. He's a musician. And Will's son is a savant. You know, that's Jax. But Brandon, I had put together a cassette for me, and I just wanted him to do about 5 minutes of each one of these scales, C, D, E, F, G, A, B. And I didn't give him any direction or anything. He just played what each one of those notes indicated, and 5 minutes for each one. And then when I was training some interns, I put the cassette on, just told them to lay back, just feel how the vibration moves through the body, listening to this particular cassette that I played for them. And almost to a person, after they finished listening to it, they wanted to know where they could buy that cassette. And I told them, no, it was just my son just put together a string of music to correlate with the scale. And now, don't get me wrong, I did not invent, you know, breathwork music. That was, there's an argument, you know, that how it came to be in breathwork from dependent Christina Groff, Jacqueline Small. The arguments depending on which camp you're in. I didn't know Christina Groff. I only was trained by Jacqueline Small. And so everything that she taught, I embraced as being original. Being a music major definitely had a lot to do, I think, with her influence with developing the music that we use in breathwork today. So that would be the person who I would give credit to as having really developed a deepening and appreciation of the music as we experience it in breathwork. So there you have it for tonight. Jumped around a lot. I apologize because we'll do a recap next week. It's archived. If you have any questions that you need to have more information about, don't hesitate to contact either Will or myself through Facebook. My email address, greenbg52@aol.com. Facebook obviously would be the quickest and most effective way, but you can also text me. You know, my phone number is 469-245-1844. So that's about it for tonight. Sorry that we didn't get as thorough as I wanted to get, but hopefully the information made some degree of correlated sense. Will, thanks so much, man, for jumping on tonight. Any closing comments right quick?
No. I'm just glad you're finally, you know, that you're doing this, that you're sharing this information. Like I said, I think it's important. I think it's good to share this, especially this time that we're in.
Yeah.
You know, music it touches everybody. You know, your quote, music is universal. You know, and it's good to really understand how music, the vibrations affect us. I think we've kind of forgotten about that, and like I said, I think we need it now more than ever. So I'm glad that you decided to go ahead and start this series. So thank you.
Yeah, man, and thank you for the support in doing it. And you know, I think you nailed it though. I mean, you know, I do know about you. Not any music is going to meet my feelings every time. You know, there may be some music playing that is so far removed from what I'm dealing with. There may be some music playing that will really capture what I'm dealing with. But it's not like as soon as I hear the music, it's going to be what I'm dealing with. You know, it's, you know, sometimes it just doesn't correlate that way. And it could be one of my favorite artists, you know, that I'm listening to. And it's like, no, this ain't cutting it for me. You know, and I have to shift to somebody else. So, you know, it's vibration and frequency. hopefully there'll be somebody we'll have on, Billy Billups is her name, and she has a system of sound and vibration that she uses, you know, through through a machine. And hopefully we can get her to come on in a future show and talk about this practice that she does. So, Will, thanks again, man. I'm gonna went over just a little bit, but good for us. This is still pretty close to, you know, ending in an hour. It's like any time we end in an hour and 5 minutes, we done good, huh?
Yeah, we did good. Good job, man. Good job.
All right, man. All right, thanks again for jumping on, man. And I love you, son.
No problem. All right, love you too, Dad.
All right, and good night, everybody. Have a blessed evening.
All right, good night.
Prayer of the children abandoned me in the shadow of an unknown room. Empty eyes with no more tears to cry, turning heavenward toward the cry, Jesus, help me to see the morning light of one more day. But if I should die before I wake, I pray my soul to take. Can you feel the hearts of the children aching for home, for something of their very own, reaching hands with nothing to hold on to, but hope for a better day, a better day. Crying, Jesus, help me to feel the love again in my own. But if unknown roads lead away from home, give me loving arms away from home. The prayer.